In the third reading of Parshas Pinchas, we move into the discussion about dividing the land of Eretz Yisrael. This is going to be a really big deal. It's going to be a big deal. Big deal because we have to make a lot of people happy. And that's like nearly impossible. There are 601,730 Jewish people, all that want a piece of land. They all deserve a piece of land. They're all supposed to get a piece of land. Who's going to get which land? Who's going to be at the beachfront? Who's going to be in a mountaintop? Who's going to be in a valley? Right? This is the issues. These are the problems. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Leimer. Third reading opens with the 52nd verse of chapter 26. God speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu saying, the census is completed. We know exactly with whom we're dealing. La'ela techole ka'aretz menachala. The land is going to be divided amongst these, meaning these 601,730 people. The Mispar Shemes, it's going to be an inheritance, but first according to the number of names, and then we're going to talk about the number of their fathers, because really the land of Israel has a lot to do with those who left the land of Mitzrayim. And the way it'll be is, L'Rav Tarben Nachalosei, Ulema'at, to the larger tribe, they'll get a larger inheritance. And to the smaller inheritance, the smaller tribe will get a smaller inheritance. Lefi fikudov yutan nachalase. According to the size of the tribe, shall be given the inheritance, according to the number. So this is all a question of demographics, a question of numbers. According to the numbers, so the land shall be divided. Now, that's pretty reasonable. And yet, despite the fact that there is a rhyme and reason, a methodology here, the Torah adds, "Ach begoidel yecholik esaretz." However, nonetheless, the land will be divided by lottery. And that will happen with matos avosam yincholu. That literally, the staffs of their fathers will inherit. What does all this mean? So I'm going to direct you to Rashi. I'm going to take a look at Rashi of Pasuk Nun Dalet. Rashi says the following. L'rav tar b'nachalasi. A large tribe will have a large portion of land. Says Rashi, L'shevet shahoyo meruba ba'ochlosin. For a tribe that has large numbers, a tribe that's more populous, nesoni chelik rav, they get a bigger portion of land. So obviously, a tribe that has a smaller number, they will have a smaller piece of land. So that is to say, bepashtos, the land of Israel was divided into 601,730 portions. The whole land was divided into portions, divided into little homesteads, into little sections of fertile land. And that represented all the individuals. And then, after the land, we know that there was so many portions of the land, so everybody has an equal piece of land, so to speak. Then after that, the land has to be divided into 12 territories, and every shevet will receive the amount of territory that includes within it enough pieces of land to correspond to its population. So if we have 601,730 portions of land, and the portions of land are divided into 12 territories, we're going to have to essentially make sure that every tribe will have to have exactly enough pieces of land for its population, the population that would come into Eretz Yisrael. Va'af al pi shelehoyo hachalakim shavim. Even though the 12 territories could not be equal, shareh hakol lefi ribui hashevet chilku, everything would have to be divided into, depending on the populace, how many members of the tribe were there. So Rashi says, Le'asu ela al yedei gerdel. Nonetheless, despite the fact that there was a rhyme and reason to this, and everything was according to numbers, that they divided up the portions, it was all done by virtue of a gerdel. And Rashi says, this way, everybody would see that it was by divine providence. Because if it wasn't by divine providence, or it wasn't by the hand of Hashem, a person could always say, hey, I got the short end of the stick. I don't like my piece of land. My neighbor, my friend, the next tribe, they have the better land. We have the worst land. how did I end up with this portion? And every tribe would have kvetching, because as you know, the grass is always greener on the other side. Rashi goes on to say, "V'ha'goydol ho'yo al-pi ruach ha'kodesh." The goydol itself went according or followed the Holy Spirit, Kamesha Mefurish, Bebava Vasa, as explains in Tractate Bava Vasa, page 122 onward, that Allah Zar HaKoyin Hayim Malubish Borim V'tumim. Allah Zar HaKoyin, because Aaron has already passed on, he is the new Kohen Gadol. He is wearing the Urim V'tumim, which is the special Shem HaMefodesh, the special name of Hashem that's written on a piece of sacred parchment that's placed in the folds of his breastplate. And when that's in there, then the gemstones of the breastplate, they light up, as we learned in previous Chumashim. Talked about it in the book of Exodus. The Omer, and now Rashi says, it, meaning the ticket, says, Beruach HaKodesh, pardon me, the Omer talks about now the gemstones, the breastplate. So he would see Beruach HaKodesh. He said, Im Shevet Pleini Eile, if such and such a tribe is now going to be lifted, picked out of the box that with all the tickets were in, what will happen is, there was 12 tickets, and each of the 12 tickets had 12 tribes written on them, a different tribe. And then there was Shnei Maser Psakin, and there was another 12 tickets, V'yudbeis Gvulin, V'yudbeis Psakin. There was 12 territories written onto 12 tribes. U'belolom Bekalpi, and they were mixed into two containers. Vahanasi, and the leader of each tribe, would be machnes yad l'teichai. He would reach his hand into this container. V'noitel shnei psakim. He would take out two tickets. So he would be two containers, be filled with tickets. One ticket said the names of the tribes. One ticket said the territories of Israel. He would reach his hands in. He would pull out the tickets. One ticket, presumably, was going to be the name of his tribe, if a miracle happens. One ticket would be, presumably, that area of Eretz Yisrael. Vahanasi, so that he would put his hands in. Va'oila biyade pesek shel shem shivtei. Miraculously, there's 12 tribes in there. He would put his hand in. The ticket he took out had the name of his tribe. He put his hand in the other kalpi, in the other container. U'pesek shel gvula mafurishle. He would take out the territory that had his, so to speak, territory written on it. How do we know it was his territory? Because Allah Zohar HaKohen already predicted that now such and such a tribe is going to come out. And the name of such a tribe, for example, Zvulun is going to be living in Yafo, or the coastal area. And then, after all this, then the ticket itself spoke. The Omer, the ticket itself would say, Ani HaGoydol Alisi Ligvul Pleini. I, he says, I, the lottery ticket, I, the ticket, have been given over such and such a portion, such and such a territory, a province, goes to such and such a tribe. And it was exactly as everything else had happened, exactly as Allah had said, and exactly as the tickets were picked out. Shenemar, Rashi says, as it is written, Al pi ha-goydol, by the mouth of the goydol, mouth of the lottery. So the mouth of the lottery means that there's a mouth, the ticket had to be speaking. Forget about a speaking donkey. Here we have a speaking ticket. The land was not only divided by volume, but rather by quality, by fertile possibility. Because you have some areas of land that are more fertile or better than others. Ella b'shuma. It was all by quality and by value. Beis kur ra keneged beis sa'atav. Beis kur is a larger area of land. And a larger area of land that would be, so to speak, equal to a smaller area of land that was extremely fertile. Hakol lefi adamim, everything would be according to the value of the land. Now, in those days, value of land was about fertility, about which land you could get more produce out of. That's how land is valued. So they have this famous story of people going to a real estate convention. One guy says he owns 780 acres in Texas, and the other guy says, I own 1,500 acres in Alabama, and look at one guy, says, I own half an acre. He says, you own half an acre? What are you doing in this convention? Where's your acre? He says, Midtown Manhattan. right? So it depends where your acre is, so the way your acreage is, so there's a different value. And so a small piece of land in a very, very fertile or valuable area would be equal to a large tract of land in an area which was barren, not fertile, and not something which is as valuable. So the land of Israel was indeed apportioned in 601, 730 portions, but the portions were fair portions, which mean they were divided by value, not only by landmass. And that's how the land of Israel was apportioned. Now you need to understand this was a big deal. This was like a one-time event. And after this one-time event, this was the piece of land you were stuck with for posterity, basically forever. Sheikh will come, the tribes will once again muster, and we'll be back on the lands that our ancestral homelands were, that the tribes were divided up. So how are you going to get everybody to be happy? The only way to make sure everybody would be happy was them to know that this is something that comes from a higher place, that Hashem himself said, your neshama is connected to this piece of land, this is where you will spiritually prosper, this is where you will be able to fulfill your shlichus ale adamis. I was once talking to the famous chassid, Rabbi Avraham Shem Tov, they'd asked me to speak for a group of counselors in Camp Gan Yisrael. And I think he was like, it's a kid's camp, and he's like this deep thinker and a big activist, and he's involved in a camp. I didn't say anything, but I think he said to me, he kind of thought, I wonder what he's thinking. He said to me, I want you to know that the Rebbe told me that I should be in charge of the camp, and the Rebbe told me it's an inyan of Gödel. In other words, it's not something which necessarily makes sense. It's not in consonance with his chushim, with his kishreis, with his abilities. Like, he's a person who, banged on the door of the Oval Office, and he's a person who accomplished extraordinary things. He's an extremely gifted and talented person. And here he is with camp counselors, like at the camp. It's not when you think of Camp Ramah, and it's not, you don't know exactly, you wouldn't put a person like Avraham Moshe Shem Tov. It just doesn't fit. It's not a natural fit. But I didn't say anything. He said to me, you should know that the Rebbe told me that this is by Gödel. So Gödel is a lottery. Lottery doesn't make sense. But we also believe that Gödel comes from a higher place. So this was the one Shevet could say, well, what did you give me this land for? Here I am stuck in this mountainous, barren area, and my fellow tribe is sitting there in a fertile valley. He's pumping out this incredible volume of produce, and I'm barely eking out something, and I'm barely making a living. Why did Hashem do this to me? Why did I come here? It's not fair. I'd rather have that small piece of acreage instead of having these enormous areas. So answer is, it's Alpia Gödel. Yeah, Gödel. There's an element, like it says in Chassidus, talks about this, the idea of Gödel, that there's a realm of, and a dimension of divinity, which is transcendent of rhyme, reason, rationality. It's something which is intrinsic. We don't necessarily understand it or ever see the connection, but that's the way it is. And that's Alpia Gödel. So here, when the Shvatim would see this, Allah Zarkoyen is speaking with Ruach HaKodesh, he predicts the event. Then your own Nasi, he can't blame it. Somebody else picked out the wrong ticket. Your own leader picked out your ticket. And then on top of all this, the ticket spoke. And the ticket said, I, this portion of land belongs to this particular tribe. So when that happened, it was ironclad. Nobody could ask any questions. Nobody could have any doubts. And nobody should be jealous or upset. Maybe some of them were anyway. but nonetheless, yeah. How do you complain? This is clearly Me'es Hashem. We see this in a couple of verses. I'm going to skip forward with you to verse 56, just two verses later. Al pi ha-goydel techolek nachalasi. The Chumash says, the Torah says, al pi, by the mouth of the goydel, there's the inheritance going to get a portion and divided ben rav, ben lamat, whether many or few. Take a look in Rashi in verse 56. Rashi says, al pi ha-goydel, whether many or few. So this already is stated earlier. Why does it have to say it a second time? It already says it in verse 54. So the Rashi tells us the reason that the Torah re-emphasizes and speaks about the same idea all over again is because HaGoyrol HaYemidaber, to emphasize to you that this ticket was speaking, a talking ticket, K'meisha Pirashti L'mayla, as I explained to you in the commentary in verse 54. Umagid, this teaches you, Sheneschalka B'ruach HaKodesh, that the land of Israel was divided by virtue of the Holy Spirit, the will of Hashem. And in parentheses here, according to some versions of Rashi, there is added four words, Lakach Nemar Alpi. That's why it says Alpi, by the mouth of, because we had a story of a talking ticket. And that's a very small piece of the picture. There's a huge machlekes in the Shoinim, exactly how this went, how the girdle was, how it was apportioned, and so on and so forth. But this is a very, very basic overview of how it went. And what we see clearly from both the Rashi on verse 54, as well as the fact that the Torah repeats this a second time in verse 56, it's ach begoidel yecholik, it's done by virtue of lottery, and al pi hagoidel, it's done by virtue of the mouth of that lottery ticket. The talking ticket is what sealed the deal. So from here, we're going to go to the Rebbe's Biyurim, page Kuf Lamed Beis, Simen Yud Aleph. The Rebbe asks a question. And this question is based on a teaching of the famous Rishon Rabbeinu Nissen, who wrote commentary on the vast amount of the Talmud, and he also authored a book of sermons, which is called Drasha Saran. Yesh L'tmaya. There is something quite astonishing about what we just learned. Hare Yodua, it is known, as per the teaching of the Ran in his 8th sermon, She'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oise Nes L'chinam. God doesn't do miracles for no reason. In the language of the Ran, Le'ovet Kutshubrichu Nisa L'megana. So, the way the Ran explains it there, that nature is created by Hashem, Hashem cherishes nature, and he doesn't want to break or shatter the terms of nature, unless there has to be a good reason for it. Miracles don't just happen. Nature isn't just cast aside. Hashem put nature in place. And he put nature in place so that it should be there, that's how things should function. So if a miracle happens, there has to be a really good reason for it. So the Rebbe asks, pray tell, La'ezet tzayrech eifei, asa kadosh baruch hu nes muflazeh. For what purpose did God make this miracle? You know, everybody raves about the donkey who talked. We have a Mishnah when the donkey's mouth was created. Nobody talks about the talking tickets. They didn't even have a mouth. The donkey at least had a mouth. He can make noise. He just can't verbalize anything articulate. He had a talking ticket. It's unheard of. Ha-goydol atzmei ha-yetzeveach. The goydol was not just talking. It was shouting. Or later in verse 56, ha-goydol ha-yemedaber. The ticket was talking. Why? Who needed a talking ticket? Why couldn't you simply have a situation where Aaron HaKohen was already talking by virtue of Ruach HaKodesh because of what the gemstones had told him? The Nasi of the tribe came and then chose or selected the tickets, and it was exactly what Aaron predicted was going to happen, which in itself is stunning. It's amazing. How did Aaron know that? And my Nasi chose that. What, a talking ticket? Imam HaTorah, if the purpose was to prove to the Jewish people that this apportioning was done not by rhyme and reason, not by anybody's personal decision, but rather this is directly from Almighty God Himself. It's not by happenstance. For this purpose, it should have been sufficient, seemingly. There was already a tremendous amount of open clairvoyance. Open prophecy, if you will. How did Aaron know? Aaron is literally predicting the events before they happen. You put your hands in a container full of tickets. You have no way to know what ticket's going to come out. Imagine if somebody could predict, so the lottery ticket is going to be picked, and this is the number that it's going to have. That would be unbelievable. But that's exactly what happened. Aaron picked it out. He had one, could be any of the 12. And Aaron said, it's going to come out to call up the tribe of Reuven. Reuven's ticket's coming out. And Reuven's going to live where Reuven's going to live. And the Nasi of Reuven comes out and he puts his hand in, one out of 12 tickets, and it's Reuven. And he puts his hand in, and the other container takes out. It's exactly what Aaron HaKohen said. Do you need anything more compelling? Is there any question that this comes from a higher place? Did the ticket really need to talk? I wonder which ticket talked. I'm going to guess the second ticket, the ticket that had the piece of land. Maybe they both talked. I don't know. Huh?
Everyone would say the lottery was rigged.
How could the lottery be rigged when Elazar HaKoyen predicted before the Nasi puts his hand inside the container? Elazar HaKoyen already predicted, reading the direct communication on his Choshen. He read it clearly, exactly what's going to happen. He read, he saw it. Looked down, he saw the letters. And then it's exactly what happens. The Nasi of Reuven reaches in and he pulls out the ticket that says Reuven. You can't rig that. How are you possible to rig it? So we already have that Ruach HaKodesh. As Rashi says, Allah is standing there in his resplendent sacred glory, and he's wearing the holy raiments. He's saying with clairvoyance, with the Holy Spirit, if this tribe comes up, this is the ticket that's going to match. And that's exactly what happens. Now, interesting, the Rashbam, in his commentary on the end of Maseches Bava Basra, on page 122, where this is discussed in the Gemara, we don't have Rashi in that part of the Gemara, but his grandson Rashbam wrote commentary. He says, quote, Al Yedeize Miskarada Daiten Shal Yisrael. When this all happened, the people's passions kind of cooled off. The people relaxed. Sheroyim Shahagoyrol Hayoyla Kemeshe Esnavatchila. They saw that the ticket was exactly the ticket that was foretold. It was foretold this would happen, and it happened. The Yedin, this would make them know, Shechaluka Yesharehi, that this is a fair apportioning. The division is fair. It's right and it's fair. And that's good enough? No. The ticket had to talk to. The Yesh Leimar. So the Rebbe suggests something very novel. He says, Mashmos Hatzivoy Ach Begoydel Yecholik Es Haaretz. The intimation of the words Ach Begoydel. Ach means only, exempting, excluding. Only with the girdle will the land be divided. He shechalukas haaretz tzichali his basis ach verak al hagirdle. That the division of Israel has to unfold only by virtue of the lottery, the tickets. L'loyes tamchus agram neisafim, without reliance on other forms of information or clairvoyance or Holy Spirit, nothing else. It should be solely based on the concept of lottery of girdle. Well, proverbially, we could argue the reason for this is that the concept of girdle represents, as I said, this very, very high level, which is not necessarily fathomable. There's a unique link and connection between these neshamas and this task and this area and this place. That's hapiyah girdle. It's not just a wise thing. It's not just a Ruach HaKodesh thing. Like if the Rebbe would tell Rabbi Shanta to do it, that's not good enough. The Rebbe told him. The Rebbe is Ruach HaKodesh. No, the Rebbe said to him, it's al pi ha-girdle. Because you can ask the question, why am I doing this? This is not something which seems that to match or fit the pattern of my abilities. Why am I the one doing this? And what's the answer? Al pi ha-girdle. There's something which is beyond rhyme and reason. So the Torah emphasizes that the division of the land of Israel is al pi ha-girdle, but it doesn't just say it's by virtue of lottery. It says, ach! And ach means only, exceptionally, by the virtue of the girdle. Umikan yesh lilmeid, this teaches us something very interesting. Shagam mehemenusa shel ha-girdle atzmai, that even the faith that the people would have in the lottery process or system itself, could not rely on external causes. For example, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of Aaron HaKohen. Shekein, b'mikra zeh ha-chaluka eina al pi ha-girdle levada. In this instance, the chaluka, the division, is not by virtue of the girdle alone, ela b'tziruf Ruach HaKodesh. It's not ach b'girdle. You would say it's b'girdle, and in addition to girdle, there's also something else. This is Aaron HaKohen. That wouldn't be ach b'girdle. If it's ach b'girdle, only by the girdle, then it's only by the girdle. And if there can't be anything else that's involved in making this happen, if the Torah says this is the way it has to go, this has to be goral-driven, then it has to be goral-driven and goral-driven alone, and no other force or power or cause should be involved in making this happen, because ultimately, the Torah says, ach b'girdle. Lachain hayyaman ahechrach, therefore it was necessary, shahagoydel atzma yadaber. You needed to have a talking ticket, because if you wouldn't have a talking ticket, then it wasn't only ach, but girdle, it wasn't only by virtue of the ticket. In other words, the faith that people would have that would be absolutely convinced this is the right thing. Why? Because the lottery came out that way, because the ticket said so. The ticket had to say so. And if the ticket wouldn't actually say so, it wouldn't be by virtue of the ticket alone, it would be by virtue of other things too. V'lachain, therefore, hoyo min ha-hechrech, it was necessary that the ticket itself would speak, in order that the belief in the system would be based on it and it alone. So this is clearly a lesson that's being conveyed to us. There's really no other way to explain this miracle of the talking tickets. There had to be a cause, there had to be a purpose and a reason. And the question might be asked, what lesson does this teach us? Okay, so that was a technicality. Hashem said it has to be begoidal. We understand that there's this notion and idea that the fact that everybody's connected to a particular part of the soil of Eretz Yisrael and the notion of soils and souls, which seem to be as far apart as East and West, should be sewed together and naturally inclined towards one another is already something which is super rational. It's not super rational. It's logical. Like, what does soil have to do with a soul? Why do I have to live in this exact spot? And why would I have to function here? And why would this neshama have to be involved in the farming of this piece of land? It doesn't make sense. It's a girdle thing. So in addition to the girdle thing, it had to happen through a girdle. But there's a lesson that we can learn, an important lesson in Avodas Hashem. Bahashkafa Rishayim, at first glance, ha-girdle eina matara la'atzmi. The lottery is not a means to an end. It's not an end in itself, pardon me. It's only emtsoi. It's a means to an end. What's the end? It's an emtsoi. It's a means to division of the land. The kal v'chomer shehoichacholim emnus shel gedol eina ela emtsoi. So we have this idea that the division of the land of Israel and everybody's assuming their rightful position and purpose in life, that is the end. The question is, what's the means? How do we get there? And the Torah says that the means to this end is by virtue of a lottery. So there's an end goal, an end game, and there's a way we get there. So one might think that what's important is the end. The end game. What is the ultimate goal? What's the purpose? How you get there is not really relevant. It's not really important. You know, there's nine ways to skin a cat, as you say. It doesn't make a difference. The main thing is, as long as you get there right, as long as things work out right in the end, that should already be sufficient. But you see that the Torah clearly says not like this. The Torah says, if this is the appropriate means to that end, then the means has to be taxed and harnessed and channeled and used 100%. In other words, the faith in this system has to be also perfect. Not only in the end result of people would be satisfied to know that Allah spoke to Udruch HaKadosh, and their own Nasi was the one who was complicit in making this happen because he would put his hand into the container. He would pull the lottery. No. If this is the means that Hashem devised, then the means has to be 100% utilized as Hashem had told us to it. In other words, we place emphasis and importance not only in the end, but also in the means to getting there. Many people will say often that the end justifies the means. And Teres Emes will say, nothing can justify something. It has to be right. The end has to be right, and the means has to be right. And if the Eibishter says this is the means, if this is the means to be used, then this is the means to be used absolutely, correctly, and properly. There are those who think how you got the money is less important as long as you do the right thing with the money. All right, you're a little shady, whatever. Make sure you give tzedakah. That's not the Torah perspective. The means or the end can never justify the means. The means has to be honest, the means has to be clean, the means has to be right and appropriate and proper. And only when the means is right can we be certain that the end is indeed the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. And that's a big lesson in life.